WMAL News at 7, Happy New Year. I'm Heather Curtis. America's most popular New Year's tradition continued in Times Square yesterday as the ball was dropped. Fewer people were there than usual because of Omicron, but those there and around the world were happy to say goodbye to yet another rough year that ended with the death of iconic actress Betty White.
She was the longest-running woman on television, jumping from the Mary Tyler Moore Show in the 70s to the Golden Girls in the 80s and 90s, receiving Emmy Awards in both. White began her career in 1939. Her first big break came a decade later on a variety show, followed by a sitcom, and then a job that changed everything for her. On the game show Password, she met the love of her life, host Alan Ludden. Along with acting, White was passionate about animal welfare, winning a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Jane Goodall Institute.
Fox's William Lajeunesse. A slew of new laws are going into effect in our region now we're in the new year.
In Virginia, the minimum wage is going up from $9.50 an hour to $11. A 5-cent bag tax is coming to grocery stores, convenience stores, and drug stores in Arlington and Fairfax counties, as well as the city of Alexandria and Fairfax. Speed cameras are going up in Arlington. Jefferson Davis Highway, also known as Route 1, is now known as Emancipation Highway. Maryland is also raising the minimum wage from $11.75 to more than $12 an hour. In D.C., gas-powered leaf blowers are now illegal. The city is also ending its ticket amnesty program, meaning you'll have to pay penalties in addition to those fines. Rachel Sutherland on WMAL and WMAL.com.
2021 ended with a literal bang yesterday at the Mall of America.
Two people were shot following a fight in the mall, and the sound of bullets sent shoppers running for safety. Investigators say the mall was locked down for about 45 minutes while cops swarmed the scene. It didn't reopen for the rest of the day. Mall of America spokesperson Dan Jasper says workers in the mall knew what to do.
Tenants gathered guests into their space, locked the space.
One man suffered a gunshot wound to the leg and was taken to the hospital. Another person was grazed. No suspects have been arrested. Rob Dawson, Fox News.
Longtime financial guru Rick Edelman debuts his new show right here on WMAL, where he has been heard for decades.
And it's going to be a personal finance show, very similar to what I've been doing for decades on the air. But the difference is I'm going to be more narrowly focusing on the five subjects that matter most.
Rick Edelman says that includes the new sources of wealth, such as Bitcoin and blockchain.
And for the first time ever, everybody in America can engage in the financial markets. And this is how wealth gets created, which means now everybody has the opportunity to create wealth, not just rich people getting richer.
Rick Edelman's new show, The Truth About Your Future, debuts today on WMAL. Barbara Britt, WMAL and WMAL.com.
And you can hear it at 10 this morning. WMAL Sports, the Caps beat Detroit 3-1. Up next, traffic and weather. WMAL traffic. From the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, here's Albie D.
On the Maryland side of the Beltway in Montgomery County, you're going to find a crash. Right lane is blocked on the outer loop of the Beltway between Georgia Avenue and Connecticut Avenue. No reports of any crashes or any delays on the Prince George's County side of the Beltway, inner loop or outer loop. Between the two Beltways, on the VW Parkway and 95, you're at speed northbound and southbound. On Route 50 in Prince George's County, between the Beltway and the Bay Bridge, no delays eastbound and westbound. And in Montgomery County on 270 between the Beltway and Frederick, no delays on the northbound side and on the southbound side. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Cloudy skies are expected on this New Year's Day with temperatures very mild, around the 60-degree mark. Periods of rain likely. We will have a cold front shift through ahead of the front. Temperatures may warm into the upper 60s late tonight. Sunday, we will see mostly cloudy skies. Chance for showers most likely south and east. High temperatures back in the mid-60s through the afternoon. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Right now, 57 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on WMAL.
Now, from the WMAL WinBet Studios, the Saturday Morning Update.
It's hour two of the Saturday Morning Update for New Year's morning, and a happy new year. Thank you for being up early with us. And John Gizzi joins us. He's the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax TV and Newsmax.com. John, a happy new year to you and Colleen.
A happy new year to you, Rick.
Well, thank you. And as we look at the headlines this week, the big news out of the White House was the phone call between President Biden and President Vladimir Putin of Russia. What do we know of what actually happened on that call? I know there's spin coming out of the White House, but you do have your sources.
Yeah, and my sources say they were eyeball to eyeball and nobody blinked, to be continued in Geneva in 2 weeks. That's when there will be a meeting of representatives of Presidents Biden and Putin to hammer out the situation in Ukraine right now. Now, very simply, the two made their demands. President Biden said he wanted the Russian forces, roughly 175,000 amassed by the eastern border of Ukraine, out. President Putin said before that's considered, he wants a guarantee that Ukraine will never join NATO and that NATO troops from the West severely limit both their numbers and their weaponry when they do maneuvers near Ukraine. In any event, those are things the U.S. and certainly the European Union will not agree to. So it is to be continued, a stalemate. One more thing. I talked to Timur Kekobashvili, and I hope I said that right if we're listening, the former Georgian ambassador to the United States and someone who's dealt with Russia for years. He says, just imagine you have a sausage. Putin's tactics are to demand part of the sausage, even though he has no grounds for that. He doesn't own it. And in the end, you'll give him something. So he believes when it's all over, Putin will get a few slices out of this.
So other than that, it's been a little quiet at the White House. Apparently no briefings this week. The president at the beach in Delaware. While we're on the administration, it seems that Vice President Kamala Harris has had the opportunity to get out and try and do some damage control for her sinking poll numbers. She's done some interviews, but it's not going 100% probably the way they would hope it would.
No, it's not. Essentially, she gave her argument that she's made in private, that she is targeted by the press for some reason, and that this is a standard that she's being held to that her 48 predecessors did not. She did not say in her recent round of interviews that it was because they were male and white, but she certainly hinted that she's being treated in a different way. She talked about her relationship with the president and assured everyone everything was fine between them. And, of course, she brought out her signature cackle. My guess is that this listening tour of hers, or I should call it a talking tour, is just not going to help her that much. As the Washington dinner party circuit starts to come to life again, one of the most talked about topics is that Vice President Kamala Harris is held in minimum high regard, to use a phrase of the late House Speaker John McCormick, and that she will not be a major contender in 2024, assuming President Biden does not seek re-election at the age of 82. My guess is that no round of interviews, no kind of tour, and no new and improved Kamala will change this.
West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin's stock certainly went up in 2021. I'm not talking about the stock holdings, but his brand in general. He really seems to have control on the Build Back Better plan. Any sense that he's ever going to come around on that? Do you get a sense there will be further negotiations, as the White House would indicate? Or he seems to be speaking to the contrary and say, no, I'm not.
Look, let's put it on the table. The $1.75 trillion BBB, Build Back Better bill, is dead. It is gone. And we are starting from square one, starting from scratch, if you will, when Congress comes back in session. Will Joe Manchin be a key player? You bet. Because whether or not any form of this, which in effect carries the bulk of the Green New Deal favored by the progressive ring of the party and something that he objects to, particularly regarding the climate change portion of the measure, he will have veto power over. They run the risk in the Democratic Party of alienating the AOC, Bernie Sanders wing of the party, if they leave too much out of the new and hopefully improved BBB. So in any event, we are going back to Joe Manchin being the key player and trying to keep the progressives on board in this time to give the president something. One more thing. He made some noise before they left town for the Christmas season about wanting to put limitations on the filibuster. It will be interesting to see whether he does that because it represents a significant retreat from his long-held position that we need the filibuster.
The passing of a former key senator, Harry Reid of Nevada, this week. As we look back on his reign in the Senate, what would you say were the highlights and how it impacts us today?
Well, there's no doubt he's a person of consequence. Harry Reid was the quarterback of two of President Obama's signature pieces of legislation, the Affordable Care Act and the Dodd-Frank regulatory bill, which came 2 years after the Wall Street collapse. Now, in both cases, they were passed almost exclusively along party lines. President Obama and Majority Leader Reid knew they couldn't do this without a Democratic Senate, and they had it for a grand total of 6 years, actually. But by 2010, the margins were too close to do anything too decisive. Harry Reid knew when to move. In addition, and perhaps more significantly, he was the architect of the nuclear option. Harry Reid pulled the trigger, and along party lines, by a majority vote, the Senate dropped the 60-vote requirement to end the filibuster and bring a nomination to a vote, except in the cases of the U.S. Supreme Court. Historians almost universally agree that this led to the partisanship, often bitter, that we experience today. Sure enough, 4 years later, it was turnabout fair play when Republicans won a majority and leader Mitch McConnell turned around and ended the filibuster on Supreme Court appointees, paving the way for President Trump to name three justices to the high court. Overall, he was not the beloved figure that Republican leader Bob Dole was. People in both parties loved Bob Dole and praised him as a compromiser and as someone who, when he disagreed, at least got along. There wasn't praise for Harry Reid, the partisan Democratic leader, just grudging respect.
We're going to continue our conversation with John Gizzi, but first we're going to head over to the WMAL Traffic Center, and Al BD is there this morning.
Good morning and Happy New Year. On the Virginia side of the Beltway, it's clear. Inner loop and outer loop, you're at the posted speed limit. In Fairfax County on 66, no reports of any delays eastbound or westbound. On 95 in Virginia, between the Beltway and Fredericksburg, you're not going to hit your brakes. Northbound and southbound lanes are clear. D.C., 295, 395, and 695, all lanes are clear and at the posted speed limit. And now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL StormWatch 7 forecast.
Cloudy skies with periods of showers likely on this Saturday for New Year's Day. Temperatures, though, very mild, around the 60-degree mark the majority of the day, jumping in the mid, possibly upper 60s later on tonight. Continue to have the chance for a few showers and some steady rain at times overnight into Sunday morning. Mostly cloudy, some isolated showers, particularly south and east on Sunday. Temperatures still warm into the mid-60s. The next little disturbance will swing by our south and east. Could see some changeover to a few wet flakes early into Monday morning. Otherwise, partly sunny by the afternoon, very cold, high temperatures in the upper 30s Monday afternoon. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex Liggett, the StormWatch 7 Weather Center.
57 degrees, 716 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and a very happy new year to you.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
The Saturday morning update continues on WMAL, and a happy new year. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi is our White House correspondent and chief political columnist. He's at Newsmax.com and Newsmax TV. John, we saw President Trump trend down in the poll numbers and never really seem to recover. As you see where President Biden has gone in terms of approval, is there a way that they can turn that around, or is that just once you're going down that road, you're stuck on that path?
President Clinton had terrible terrible poll numbers, and his party lost control of Congress in the midterm elections of 1996. Yet he was reelected fairly handily 2 years later. I've seen presidents down, but not out. Barack Obama, in his own words, took a shellacking in the midterm elections of 2010. Yet he came back to win re-election and still secure passage of substantive legislation. One is never done until one is truly done. And I have to say, I'm not willing to write off this president at this time, the poll numbers notwithstanding. I've seen too many Capitol Hill Lazaruses come back.
John, President Biden had made such a case that he would be the one to bring COVID-19 under control. And we saw the admissions basically over the past week or so that they didn't see the Omicron variant coming. Once they get back in full time in January, aside from the Omicron efforts and getting COVID under control, what do you see as the focus if Build Back Better is no longer on the agenda?
The president is going to try to reestablish himself as the leader who's going to defeat the coronavirus. Remember, in his statement to the nation on this, he never made the concession people predicted that this would be a part of our lives for years to come. Rather, he said they would continue to focus on getting everyone vaccinated and eliminating COVID. And that will be his strong point. I would say also foreign policy, given the developments in Ukraine and along the Polish border, where the Belarusian government continues to bring migrants to come over, are going to be very, very important factors in the Biden administration. In addition, one is always nervous about what's going to happen between China and the island nation of Taiwan and how the U.S. will respond. So I will say it will be lots of COVID and lots of foreign countries when the president comes back to the Oval Office next week.
And John, you always have a way of putting the lives of icons in perspective. And we lost an entertainment icon this week, Betty White, dying on Friday. She approached her 100th birthday. And she was more than just an actress.
Well, she certainly was. She was someone who loved junk food, an animal lover who was on the board of the Los Angeles Zoo, and someone who gave considerably to charity. The roles she played were diversified. She was one of the early pioneers in television with the Betty White Show, a popular talk show in the 1950s, and then had her own show with the same name in the 1970s, where she played an actress, art imitating life. She did it all in terms of stage, of her roles in such programs as the Mary Tyler Moore Show and the Golden Girls. She never really made many movies, but many of us here in Washington remember that she was cast as Senator Elizabeth Ames Adams in the movie version of Alan Drury's Advice and Consent. One more thing. She married the love of her life, Alan Ludden, later in life, and she and the popular game show host were described as inseparable. When he died in 1981, she wasn't even 60 years old. Reporters asked Betty White if she would marry again. Her answer, when you've had the best, why settle for the rest? Betty White, an American icon.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Looking forward to all the excitement in 2022, John.
I'm looking forward to the excitement, and I'm looking forward to giving special wishes to the parents of my colleague and friend, James Rosen, his mom, Regina Rosen, who has a birthday today, and his dad, Mike, a faithful listener of ours. Happy birthday, Regina. Happy New Year, Mike. And hello, James, if you're listening.
It is 7:21, and James Rosen, by the way, a new edition at Newsmax. 7:21, the Saturday morning update on WMAL. We're going to be talking to Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer coming up right after the 7:30 news, and we got some interesting perspectives on a couple of ins and outs for the prior year and the new year, and that's next. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you very much for being with us on New Year's morning. Glad that you've taken the time to join us as the new year begins. And a couple of thoughts about the new year. And at least in the state of Virginia, things are going to be different. It's great. Glenn Youngkin is in the governor's mansion now in Richmond. In contrast, Andrew Cuomo is out of the governor's mansion in Albany. Mayor Bill de Blasio is out of Gracie Mansion, of course, the mayor's mansion in New York. Eric Adams, the new mayor of New York, with some law enforcement background, so things will be a lot different in the city of New York. So at least things to look forward to in Virginia and in New York. I want to turn to Person of the Year. I had mentioned Joe Manchin would have been a Person of the Year earlier. I think another contender, Peter Ducey, a Person of the Year, gotten into things at the White House with Jen Psaki and really tried to hold the feet to the fire. As things go at the White House, Peter has really been a thorn in the side, and he was one of the first to ask the hard questions. And as we went through the year, we saw that things kind of changed, and the media now is a lot more critical of the president, and a lot of hard questions are coming from everywhere. The NBCs, not from MSNBC yet, but even CNN and NBC, ABC, CBS, they're starting to ask the hard questions at the White House. And they've been sort of a honeymoon. They've gotten a pass on it for the first part of the year, but especially with the problems with COVID-19 and the spread of COVID-19, things are different at the White House now in the press briefing room, and we can credit Peter Ducey for a lot of that. So a couple of clips that I think you will find point out Peter holding the feet to the fire.
There are people living paycheck to paycheck. There are now people out of job once the Keystone Pipeline stopped construction. It's been 12 days since Gina McCarthy and John Kerry were here, and it's been 19 days since that EO. So what are these people who need money now? When do they get their green job?
Well, the president and many Democrats and Republicans in Congress believe that investment in infrastructure, building infrastructure that's in our national interests and that boosts the U.S. economy, creates good-paying union jobs here in America and advances our climate and clean energy goals are something that we can certainly work on doing together. And he has every plan to share more about his details of that plan in the weeks ahead.
Okay, so we saw the prices go through the roof, and they were just making these crazy claims out of the White House. Well, you know, the price of gasoline's come down 10 cents. Well, hello, it's been up like over $2. Come on, give me a break. So here's one they tried back in August when it came to hot dogs. Okay, this is Peter Ducey giving it to him again at the White House.
So does the White House think that 16 cents off a barbecue has more of an impact on people's lives than gas being a dollar more this time?
I would say if you don't like hot dogs, you may not care of the reduction of costs. You don't have to like hot dogs.
But I will say
that what we are most focused on is the fact that we've created now more than 3 million jobs since the president took office. That's what we're focused on and continuing to implement additional components of his economic Build Back Better agenda. Go ahead, Andrea.
Just going to switch gears completely.
Great. Hot dogs.
Ha, 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 ha. Not so funny anymore there, is it? All right. We want to move to November because we all saw the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, and we saw the attacks on Kyle Rittenhouse earlier in the year after the shooting, of course, in Kenosha. And Kyle Rittenhouse apparently has a legal team that will be going after some of the media outlets for some of the things he said. And President Biden had some comments about Kyle Rittenhouse, and here's Peter Ducey asking Jen Psaki about a potential apology from President Biden.
Would the president ever apologize to the acquitted Kenosha shooter Kyle Rittenhouse for suggesting online and on TV that he is a white supremacist?
Well, let's be clear what we're talking about here. This is about a campaign video released last year that used President Trump's own words during a debate as he refused to condemn white supremacists and militia groups. And President Trump, as we know from history, and as many of you covered, didn't just refuse to condemn militia groups on the debate stage, he actively encouraged them throughout his presidency.
And one more gem before we get into the news at 7:30. This is a good one.
So when a huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean, you think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic, yes.
Okay, nice try, Jen. So we'll go with Peter Ducey as a possible person of the year here on the Saturday Morning Update. We got the news coming up next. We're back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, latest on Biden versus Putin. Stay with us right here on the Saturday Morning Update.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. The one radio station for you to depend on. All day, every day. 105.9 FM, WMAL. A Cumulus Media station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Heather Curtis. Happy New Year. Old Lang Syne played in Times Square after the ball dropped. People rang in the new year, hoping memories of 2021 would never be brought to mind. Starting today, a trip to the grocery store in many parts of Northern Virginia will cost you a little more, and that's not because of inflation, it's just for the bag.
Now that it's January 1st, a 5-cent tax goes into effect on those single-use disposable plastic bags for all grocery stores, convenience stores, and drug stores across much of Northern Virginia. The added 5-cent tax was approved in Arlington County, the city of Alexandria, and Fairfax County as part of an effort to keep the plastic bags out of the environment. You can bring your own reusable bags for the store as long as you remember to bring the bags in from the car. Barbara Britt, WMAL and WMAL.com.
If you have COVID symptoms and work at or attend Fairfax County Public Schools, you can get tested today at South County High School between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. WMAL Sports, the Caps beat Detroit 3-1. Traffic and weather next on WMAL. WMAL traffic, here's Albie D in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Starting with the Maryland side of the Beltway, in Silver Spring, outer loop, accident has been moved to the right shoulder between Georgia Avenue and Connecticut Avenue. In Prince George's County on the Beltway, no reports of any slowdowns, inner loop or outer loop. If you're traveling between the two Beltway in Prince George's County, either on the BW Parkway or 95, you're at speed on the northbound side and on the southbound side. And in Montgomery County on 270 between the Beltway and Frederick, I have no reports of any delays northbound or southbound. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast. Starting with the Maryland...
Cloudy skies are expected on this New Year's Day with temperatures very mild, around the 60-degree mark. Periods of rain likely. We will have a cold front shift through ahead of the front. Temperatures may warm into the upper 60s late tonight. Sunday, we will see mostly cloudy skies. Chance for showers most likely south and east. High temperatures back in the mid-60s through the afternoon. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Right now, 57 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on WMAL.
It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Happy New Year to you. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the president of the London Center for Policy Research, and he is the author of Operation Dark Heart, the host of the Thought to Action podcast at London Center. Tony, good morning and Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year, Rick. Always great to join you.
Well, thank you. And a big news story out of the White House, pretty quiet this week, with the exception of the phone call between President Biden and Russian President Putin as those troops continue to amass at the border of Ukraine. A couple of things. First off, your sense of what may have gone down on that phone call. I know you have contacts and you hear things. What are you hearing about that call, aside from what the White House has put the spin on?
Well, I think the most apparent thing, which is actually public, is that there was no real definite penalties other than a very general, there will be a heavy price paid for it. That is to say, that's what Biden basically said to Putin. And it's very clear at this point, Rick, that there's actually no real plan. These economic issues, everything else that's been discussed, I think are completely toothless, especially when you consider that most of Europe, most of Western Europe at this point depends on Russia for a great deal of energy. And I just simply don't believe that anybody, is going to do much to stop Putin from taking parts of Ukraine if that means that potentially Putin could actually turn off energy in the middle of winter. So it's really troubling that there is no defined response or any hint of what those penalties will be. And that, to me, then just indicates, Rick, that Putin's going to do what he's going to do. And I do believe Putin is going to probably move forward to take some aggressive action within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
So Vladimir Putin had a New Year's speech, and in that speech, it was aired at midnight, and it was reported by the Russian agencies. And in the speech, Putin said, "We firmly and consistently defended our national interests, the security of the country and of our citizens." And he added that the country's 146 million people had faced colossal challenges, but have learned to live in the harsh conditions and solve difficult tasks thanks to our solidarity. And then moving ahead, President Biden is scheduled to have a phone call with the Ukrainian President Zelensky. That's coming up on Sunday, and that was reported out of the White House yesterday. So you've got a situation where you got Biden working with Zelensky. What are we hearing about the other countries in Europe? I mean, are we kind of going this alone? I'm not hearing out of the White House that there's this huge coalition that's trying to pressure Russia. It's sort of like, we're going to put the penalties on. What about everybody else? What do you see as the relationship with our European allies in this situation?
Well, there are some, like Poland, who are taking this very seriously. The Polish have been very concerned since they are, you know, on the border of Ukraine. And they, as a former state of the Warsaw Pact during the Cold War, and were very resistant to the Russians, by the way, have no desire to go back to having the Russian influence back directly in their face. So this is something where I think Poland is almost going it alone compared to the other nations. And I think there's been some, NATO posturing in that. They've said publicly, obviously, there's nothing they can do since Ukraine is not a member of NATO, and that, therefore, there's no potential of invoking Article 5, which requires that if one member is attacked, all other members respond. So at this point, it's, again, I think very clear that there's no cohesive response there. There's no clear indication that Biden has any idea of how he'll do it. So again, I think Putin's reading this all as pretty much a green light to take a very aggressive action sometime in the very near future.
One of the biggest embarrassments for the administration in 2021 was, of course, the departure from Afghanistan. And the former president of Afghanistan, Ashraf Ghani, was interviewed by the BBC earlier this week, and he told the BBC that he only had 2 hours to get out. And he said that the Afghan authorities were initially informed that the Taliban fighters would not be entering Kabul, but 2 hours later, this was not the case. Another enlightening story of people in the Afghanistan mess, and there's still a lot of questions about how many Americans are there, how many Afghans that supported Americans are still there that want to get out. We keep getting conflicting reports on that. If the Republicans get back into power in the Congress, is this going to be something that they will really delve into?
Well, I'd like to believe so. Interview regarding the president of Afghanistan, I think, is just more indication that there was no cohesive understanding of what was going on at all. And I think that chaos was brought on by the lack of clarity and the conflict and guidance that President Biden gave the military forces. And beyond that, one of the things that we continue to be worried about, here we are in the new year, is probably thousands of individuals who are qualified to come out. I know for a fact from monitoring some of the feeds of what's going on, most of the folks who should be able to come back cannot. They've had to basically go into hiding, so the Taliban cannot find them and take them into custody or worse. And so this is going to be something that rides into the new year. And, I think, Rick, if the Republicans are able to come back into power, there needs to be a full accounting for this. I mean, we're talking about innocent children being murdered by a mistake, a strike right after we had already lost some Marines. And just to find out how we left billions of dollars of military equipment and allowing the Taliban to become, like the sixth largest military in the world overnight. So these things are not small, and it was avoidable. And I think we need to get to the bottom so that we can learn lessons and make sure we don't make the same mistake again.
You know, you and I talk about some controversial things on the show, and sometimes things we talk about will come from media outlets that are on the conservative side, and they cause controversy. But here's one out of the Washington Post that is very troubling, and it is that China is using part of its internal internet surveillance network to mine data from Western social media and provide its government agents with information on foreign targets. That a Washington Post report yesterday.
Yeah. So everybody who is on the internet interacts at all with any site, everything from just going to do a research for a news article to being on eBay, Amazon, or anything else, you leave a string of data. Those organizations, Rick, build essentially a virtual you so that they can market to you. They want you to click on an ad. They want you to buy something. All that data is out there. What's going on is China being, I think a primary competitor, if not an adversary, is being very effective in trying to essentially collect all of that, put it all together. And the purposes of what they want it for is the same thing that commercial entities want it for. The purposes of manipulation and targeting, as the article says. So I think this is something that, again, we should be focused on. I think this is a far greater threat than any climate crisis this administration continues to throw out there. So there are real challenges. There are real threats. And instead of actually focusing on something like this that we do know, we know the data is out there. We know that they're collecting the data. We know they're going to use it for purposes of to essentially make life difficult for American Americans. So because of the lack of focus of this administration, this issue is not being challenged at all. Every American will be affected by this, and I don't think they fully understand how much they will be affected by it within the not-too-distant future.
I know some of the consulting that you do involves internet security and personal security online. A couple of tips as you see that story out of the Washington Post. What would you recommend to people in terms of maybe changing some online habits?
Well, that's the thing. First off, I think they have to basically accept the premise that they have a virtual them out there, multiple. And they need to start figuring out how to make sure that they understand what data is out there. It's not simply about protecting your browser, stopping hackers. Rick, it's about the fact that industry and when you click on one of those little end user agreements, you give a lot of permission to people to go do things. And think about this for a second. Anybody who uses Google, uses Gmail, Google has made billions of dollars off of the data that they were able to mine out of your email. So it's kind of ironic that they make all that money, but the little guys make absolutely nothing. Your data is valuable. It's time that people start recognizing that value and protecting it for purposes of either preventing others from benefiting from it, profiting from it, or preventing bad guys like China getting it and being able to use it against them.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer at the London Center for Policy Research. And Tony, you are the host, of course, of the Thought to Action podcast. And with people maybe a little extra time on their hands over the holiday weekend, what would you recommend maybe of your podcast? You'd say, hey, this is a must listen.
Well, we just had a Thought to Action with a former special agent where we talk about the very thing of personal protection. In this case, we talk about how to prevent being mugged or being more situationally aware, but it's a good podcast that gives people good hints and good ideas of how to be more safe and protect themselves when they're out and about doing things, especially in big cities. So as always, Rick, thank you for having me, and I hope you have a happy new year.
And to you too, Tony. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. It's 7:47. It's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. And KT McFarland is off. She is in Europe this weekend. And we had a conversation with Dr. Bob Lahida and got a lot of information from him. We presented some of it for you earlier this morning. And more information coming up on the Omicron variant and kind of how to handle yourself and a lot of the confusion that's going on with Omicron and the COVID-19 news media stories and the stuff coming out of the White House conflicts with what you're hearing from other experts. We'll try and get into it all next with Dr. Bob Lahida. But first, Al BD is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Here's your latest traffic update. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year. On the Virginia side of the Beltway, it's clear on the inner loop and on the outer loop. In Fairfax County on 66, no reports of any slowdowns eastbound or westbound. On 95 in Virginia, between the Beltway and Fredericksburg, all lanes are clear and at speed, northbound and southbound. In D.C., 295, 395, and 695, I have no reports of anything in the roadway to slow you down. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Cloudy skies with periods of showers likely on this Saturday for New Year's Day. Temperatures, though, very mild, around the 60-degree mark the majority of the day, jumping in the mid, possibly upper 60s later on tonight. Continue to have the chance for a few showers and some steady rain at times overnight into Sunday morning. Mostly cloudy, some isolated showers, particularly south and east on Sunday. Temperatures still warm into the mid-60s. The next little disturbance will swing by our south and east. Could see some change over to a few wet flakes early into Monday morning. Otherwise, partly sunny by the afternoon, very cold, high temperatures in the upper 30s Monday afternoon. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
56 degrees, 7:49 in the nation's capital on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's the Saturday Morning Update and a Happy New Year here on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and unfortunately the new year still brings us the Omicron variant, the coronavirus, and so much confusion out there. And to help shed some light on all of it, we're joined once again by Dr. Bob Lahida. He is the director of St. Joseph's Institute for Autoimmune and Rheumatic Diseases. He is a professor at the new Hackensack Meridian School of Medicine, and he has authored Immunity Strong, Boost Your Natural Healing Power and Live to 100. It hits the shelves in the bookstores this coming Wednesday. Very happy New Year to you.
And a happy New Year to you, Rick.
Well, we saw you on CBS News yesterday, and then there was some information came out yesterday afternoon about the Omicron variant. And we've talked a little bit about this before, but it was so early in the game to get a sense of how serious it would be and the way it has spread. What more do we know in these past couple of weeks?
Well, we know several things that are new. One is that in South Africa, the viral infections have flattened out, which is good news because they were the initial site of the Omicron scourge. And we in the U.S. follow about 2 weeks after the South African scourge. So then the next thing is that the Omicron variant has been shown largely scientifically to infect the nasopharynx and the throat. And many of the patients that I see have excruciating throat pain. But the virus doesn't seem to go down into the lung like the Delta variant, which produces major inflammation in the lung tissue, along with small microclots, all of that destroying the lung and causing respiratory failure and eventually death. The Omicron doesn't do that. The Omicron causes simple, severe cold-like symptoms. I wouldn't even say flu-like because it is not like the flu. It's a bit more gentle. And that may be good news. The other good news is that the booster shot protects you from the Omicron variant in a big way. Let's put it this way. There's been 33.1% of the population in America that have been boosted. And your infection with Omicron, those 33%, is going to be a heck of a lot less than the people who are not boosted. So that's very, very effective. And wearing the mask, because this is a highly transmissible virus, I mean, 8 times more transmissible than the Delta, meaning if you're in a room with somebody that's got the Omicron variant and you're not wearing a mask and you're yelling and screaming Happy New Year, or perhaps imbibing a little too much and getting a little bit sloppy and singing songs, etc., you're definitely going to be infected. It's not whether, it's when.
And you recommend the N95 if you can find one, correct?
Yes. Well, in the hospital, we use the N95 because we know we're definitely dealing with people that have COVID, either Delta or the Omicron variant. But I'm not going to tell people not to use the regular masks. They can use any kind of hospital mask. They can use a paper mask, preferably a cloth mask that works and covers their nose and mouth. All of those are sufficient to prevent them from infecting somebody and having somebody infect them as well.
I want to talk a little bit about testing, because we've seen hordes of people now hoarding test kits. And the question I would have for you is, if you don't have symptoms and you're not required for your work to take a test, is there any reason to take a test just to see whether you have it if you don't feel like you have it?
No, that's well put. No, and the lines are around the block, both in cars and in the city of New York. We have lines that stretch for almost a mile in some of these instances. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why people need to be tested. Unless you're going on a trip and you require a test to get on a boat, which I highly do not recommend, or you get on an airplane, that may be a good choice. That would be necessary to take a test. If you're going abroad, and again, I don't recommend that either. But that's the only time I would think of taking a test. Or if you have a family that requires you to test negative to go to their event, in the fact of Christmas Eve, they required a negative test, which was a good move. And we all tested negative, and it was a nice gathering, and no one's gotten sick, which is a good thing. So that's the only time I would get a test. And I think these thousands of people that are out there being tested, I really don't have a clue as to why that is necessary.
I want to turn to the five-day rule. There's been a lot of controversy, a lot of confusion about that. Return to work in 5 days is okay, or is it not? I don't know.
Well, let's take it from the beginning. We have thousands of flights canceled in the U.S. and abroad, for that matter. We have firemen whose forces have been cut. We have police officers. One-third of the police force in some areas is gone, all sick, testing positive, and quarantining. We have EMS workers, one-third in New York City, gone, out of work. And and of course, I can't forget the hospitals with doctors and nurses who are getting tests, and they are, in fact, positive, and many of them showing symptoms. So I think what the CDC said was, let's be realistic about this. You are infective perhaps one day before you get symptoms, and you're most infective the 1 or 2 days that you have symptoms. So when the symptoms abate and go away and you start to feel better, but you still test positive, you can stay home for 5 days from the onset of symptoms or from the time your test is positive and you're not symptomatic, 5 days, and then no symptoms after 5 days, you can leave the house. But we recommend that you wear the mask for an additional 5 days, and I think that's the CDC recommendation. Now, if you're exposed to the virus, you hopefully are boosted. You must complete your booster within 6 months of the vaccination, and that you completed the J&J vaccine within 2 months after the first shot. You must wear a mask for 10 days if you've been boosted. So if you're exposed to somebody who's infected, hopefully you're boosted. And hopefully boosted means you've had completed vaccination within 6 months of your second shot or completed the J&J within 2 months of your first shot. You are exposed and should wear a mask for 10 days. And on day 5, you should get yourself tested to see if you're positive, because you may have been exposed to somebody who's very infective. And that's pretty straightforward stuff. So I understand the concern that people have, but the reason for this new CDC rule is because of the shortage of employees. We can't bring the country to a total halt. So I can understand why we would want to be careful and yet be efficient with this infection and understand the science of it.
Immunity Strong. You can find it now at Amazon.com or wherever you get your books. Dr. Bob Lahita, very happy new year to you, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. My pleasure.
We're at 7:57, Saturday morning update, and I'm not sure what you did last night for New Year's Eve, what you watched on television for New Year's Eve. As you know, Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen always host the CNN festivities from New York. And this is just a quick clip. You have to listen kind of carefully to it because I think Andy was well into the imbibement by the time he got to this. But this is Andy Cohen on CNN last night, and he is talking about New York Mayor Bill de Blasio. This is great.
After 4 years of the crappiest term as the mayor of New York, the only thing that Democrats and Republicans can agree on is what a horrible mayor he has been.
We will leave it at that. Thank you very much for being with us on the Saturday morning update for New Year's Day. We wish you a very happy new year. And Garden Sense follows the 8 o'clock news with Heather Curtis.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. The one radio station for you to depend on. All day, every day. 105.9 FM, WMAL. A Cumulus Media station.